When God gave instructions in the Old Testament for the building of the tabernacle, he gave some very important instructions. And here is one of them from Exodus 26, beginning in verse 31. Make a curtain. Make a curtain. Some people in some translations call it a veil. Make a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. And then he said, hang it with gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold and standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasps and place the Ark of the Testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. The people clearly understood the importance of that veil. Behind that veil was purity and holiness that they could not see or hear or touch. That's not the way God wanted it to be. God wanted to walk in the garden with us. But Adam and Eve sinned, and their rebellion established a tremendous separation between us and God. It caused the angels to weep. Their sin was a spiritual veil of separation, a separation from God's holiness. Later, God allowed one man to come behind that spiritual curtain and come close to him. That man was Moses. And the place was Mount Sinai. When Moses came down from that mountain with the tablets, his face was so radiant that it frightened the people, because he had been in the presence of God. Listen to this description again in Exodus 34. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And once again, mankind was reminded of a veil that separates us from the purity and the holiness of Almighty God. Now let's jump a few centuries later into the New Testament. I'm reading from Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. With his spiritual eyes, he could see this veil ripping apart in heaven, and he could see heaven and earth being brought together. The separation was torn apart, but only Jesus could see that at first. And you know what happened to the literal curtain in the temple when Jesus Christ was crucified. Matthew 27, Jesus gave up his spirit, and at that moment the curtain, the veil of the temple, was torn in two from top to bottom. That event opened the Holy of Holies for mankind. The great separation was abolished on the cross. John Peterson wrote a great hymn to celebrate that truth. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross my Savior made me whole. All of the veils that resulted in man's sin and separation from God were removed at Calvary. Hallelujah. But before that happened, God gave us a preview. A preview in the heavens. I'm reading from Luke chapter 2. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." In Bethlehem, the veil of the cosmos was opened up and it was pulled back and heaven came down. You can say it loudly if you want to. Amen. Glory filled the skies that night, and it scared the bejabbers out of the shepherds, and it would scare me too. That was a preview of things to come. And don't forget another preview in Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star. We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Once again, the heavens declared the glory of God. God pulled back the veil just a little so that the wisest of the wise could glimpse a piece of his glory, a piece of his love that night in Bethlehem. Heaven came down and touched the earth and invited all of us to glimpse that glory. Mankind has always perceived God, or had always perceived God, as being distant and far away and hidden from them. And through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God said, "No, you have it wrong. I'm closer than you think. And you shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us." Hallelujah. Now, even though we're on this side of the incarnation, the birth of Christ, and we're on this side of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, we are still very adept, you and I. We're very skilled at hanging curtains of separation between us and Almighty God. And that's especially true, I think, during this particular time of the year, Christmas time. At Christmas time, unfortunately, we tend to focus too much on materialism and the things that we acquire and that we grasp so closely to our chest can become a separating wall between us and God. We light up our homes inside and outside as if to call attention to the materialism of the season and to celebrate all the material things. And for some people, that's all there is to Christmas. It's just the glitter that comes with it. It's the main thing that some people adore about this season of the year. Another thing that's prominent this season of the year, and I just hate to say this, but it's food. How can wonderful food ever separate us from the glory of God? Well, we spend extra time and extra energies on special recipes and cocktail parties and dinner parties and cookies and cakes and fruits and more. And we spend significant amounts of money on boxes of cheese and sausages and breads and candies and chocolates and popcorn and turkeys and wine and more. And these things can separate us from God. We major in junk food rather than on the bread of heaven. Here's another curtain that can easily separate us from God this time of year. Time itself. None of us has less time than anyone else in this room. I could preach a whole sermon on that. None of us has less time than everybody else. We're equal. We all have the same amount of time, but we make choices as to how we use that time. How often have you said, or maybe you've heard somebody else say, "I can't think about that now. I'll think about that after Christmas. I'm so busy during this time of the year that I'll just have to wait till after Christmas." If you make Christmas all about material things and food and obligations, then you are hanging a thick veil of separation between you and Almighty God. Don't count on other people to go behind that veil and worship Him for you. It doesn't work that way. At Christmas, God tore the veil of the cosmos and heaven came down. And that is an awesome mystery. It's a mystery as puzzling as gravity itself. A man by the name of Mark Green wrote a poem in 1994 called Gravity. Listen, the apple, unlike Adam, had no choice but to fall. Speeding to fulfill its creator's call. But what force drew him down to us? He, with a starlit infinity to explore, he who could peer into a neutron's core, he who had spoken 1,000,000,000 times and known the sulfuric spit of our self-vaunting crimes, he whom we had called murderer, liar, thief, and left for dead with enlightened relief. What force drew him down from above to reap the grim harvest of rebel pride, hammered with nails of truth denied? What force drew him down from above? What force but this? The gravity of love. John Peterson's hymn could easily say, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the crib Christ Jesus made me whole." Now, you may not be guilty of materialism. You may not be guilty of gluttony. You may not be guilty of excessive activity. If not, praise God. Good for you. But be careful, you could become proud of that. And pride is one of the biggest veils that we put up to separate us from the glory of God. It's the same pride that caused Satan to be kicked out of heaven. It's the same pride that caused Adam and Eve to be kicked out of the Garden of Eden. If Mary had succumbed to it, she probably would have said no to the angel. If Joseph had succumbed to it, he probably would have said no to Mary. If the Magi had succumbed to it, they probably would not have fallen down and worshipped him, but they would have returned to Jerusalem to see Herod, who was the epitome of pride itself. Heaven pulled back the veil and came down to replace pride with love. A mother tells a charming story about her little boy, first grade, and she went to school to see their Christmas play. She said, "I expected it to be fun. I expected to hear some nice songs about Frosty and snowflakes and reindeer. But then my son's class stood up to sing their selection, and I looked at the program, and the name of the song was Christmas Love. I was really surprised because this was a public school. Well, the kids were so cute. They were all dressed up in red and they had little red and white caps on. And they were so excited. They were so cute. And all the children who were standing on the front row had signs that they held down at their knees. And we learned later that on each sign was a letter and that the letters spelled the name of the song, Christmas Love. And as they sang the song, a letter would come up. C! C is for Christmas. And then the next letter, H is for happiness. And on they spell the words. Everything went very smoothly until one little girl raised her letter, the letter M in Christmas, and it was upside down. And not realizing it, she held up this big W. Well, the other children in the audience and the parents began to snicker, and they began to punch each other and point at her. And she had no idea they were laughing at her, so she held her sign higher, and she displayed that big W. And so it went. And as the song finished, as the teachers were trying to shush the children and keep them from laughing, everyone realized how embarrassing it was. But then suddenly, they all stopped and they saw at the same time something stunning. A hush came over the room. For once the last letter was raised up, it said Christ was love. And they realized why they were there. To celebrate the love of God. And Christ is love. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Praise His name. Heaven came down and glory filled your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, thank You that the breath of heaven has breathed on us new life. We have been born again into the kingdom of joy and glory. Thank You, Lord, that we have the privilege of celebrating during this very special season that You came down from heaven, that You were God with us, and that You are still with us. Lord, a resounding hallelujah to You. In Jesus' name, amen.